Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast giving you, the fans, a voice. So welcome. We are a little bit late. We wanted to do a Boeheim's Army wrap for each weekend. Obviously, they only made it through one weekend, but I went on vacation. It was just bad timing. It was poor planning from my wife. I actually left for vacation as soon as Boeheim's Army lost against Brotherly Love, I was out. So
yeah,
and I brought all my stuff to do an episode, but man, I just didn't have the time. So anyway, We do want to hit up a little bit of that real quick. I did ask you for your feedback on that. So, I mean, it is, you know, y'all took the time to give feedback. So I might as well go through a couple. We normally do the top 10. I don't want to drag this out. So we'll just do 5 real quick. Quickly, Joe, with the Boeheim's Army, I don't want to give too much lip service before we talk, the fan feedback stuff. But, I mean, they never really got it going.
No, not the third game. 3 games in 3 days is tough, especially when you got some, you know, older legs out there and some key injuries. I think not having Brandon Trish out there for the guard spot really kind of hurt. I thought there were some guards out there that really, it didn't seem to me like Crawford and Gillen played too well together, you know, off the ball and this and that. So it looked like Diebendorf had to be in there for kind of both, and Crawford played a majority of both first 2 games. So it was a lot of still mixing and matching and figuring it out. And it was pretty obvious against a scrappy team like Brotherly Love, who played really, really hard.
They played as a team, too.
They played as a team, and they played really, really
great
hard.
Great ball movement.
And out-hustled us to the loose balls and got a lot of offensive rebounds, second-chance points. And that 2-3 zone, it was just – you got to be – I know that they all played it. They all went to Syracuse. But you kind of got to be in sync with the actual teammates on the court as well. So I don't know if they got enough playing time together to kind of deal with that. And I think having somebody like a McCullough and definitely a Trish in there to be able to break up a little bit of that guard monotony would have been pretty good, because Trish has been one of our mainstays in this tournament. So it was an unfortunate ending to – a tournament that we look forward to every year, because it kind of breaks up the summer monotony, but definitely would have liked to have seen them get to a second weekend. But there's some good teams. The teams are getting tougher and tougher, and prize pool went up from 1 million to 2 million, so you see some names you didn't see before kind of come out of the woodwork some teams together and stuff.
It's becoming quite a popular tournament, so I mean, it's probably the competition is only going to get stiffer.
Oh yeah,
stiffer,
I mean, they said they had a bunch of them with DeMarcus Cousins, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had a team, I think. Chris Paul, CP3, he had a team. So you have NBA players that are coming out and they're putting the money up and being coaches to these teams and getting involved with that kind of stuff. And DRC or something, the cornerback there. From the NFL, Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, he had a team that he put the money up for, got together. He even played on it. So, you start to see this. It's starting to get a lot more popular. And again, raising that prize pool is only going to get better talent and better players out there. So,
and it kind of makes you, you know, that just, it's like This was, I felt like this was our a great team. I thought that this could have been maybe a year we actually make a run, and you know, it's not going to get any easier next year.
So, oh no, it's going to continually get tougher and tougher.
Exactly. So at If Not Now When 84, they were playing with fire the whole tournament. Playing from behind is never going to get it done. Hats off to Brotherly Love. They straight up out hustled us on every possession. Rebound margin was atrocious. Maybe next year. I don't know. Like I said, I'm worried about next year. I'm worried about the competition getting just harder and harder and harder. So I mean, we're talking about
And again, too, for us, you know, there's the whole nostalgic, the Syracuse alumni and majority, and we try to get most of them Syracuse alumni and make it, you know, big for the fans and get some of these older players together, but. Not all these other teams are like that. And
yeah,
like we talk about the competition, they're trying to stack their teams. They're not worried about getting. Now, albeit the Ohio State alumni team and the Marquette alumni team, they made the Final Four. So they're still in the tournaments. But the other two teams, Overseas Elite and Team Hines, are, again, a couple teams, some stacked teams that got a bunch of good players together, fringe NBA, good overseas players. And looks like. That's the way that this tournament's starting to steer toward. I think it's going to be more and more difficult to, for just alumni teams, filled teams, to be able to win this.
At Syracuse showed why you can't play 2-3 against pros. Zone counts on opponents making mistakes and missing open shots. Pros don't do that as much. I mean, yeah, I don't know how long they took to get a game plan together. Added a couple players late. One of them being Andrew White. I mean, you know, I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but they didn't practice a lot together. So at turf underscore on underscore fire, just like Cuse basketball, the zone is stale, is a stale defense that allows offensive rebounds and open looks. Cuse football program is way more exciting than basketball. Wow. That's a flip of the script, ain't it?
No.
Well, we're not, it's not really Syracuse
team.
Basketball.
It's just a random tournament, man.
Yeah.
How the tables have turned.
I know, right? Jeez, brutal. Omar said, sad that we played hero ball instead of team ball. There was no ball movement. Nothing you not going to win nothing playing hero ball. There's no punctuation there. But what he's saying is there is a lot of one-on-one. It's a lot of what we,
Right. Yeah, and again, as much as it was fun to see, you know, as on ESPN, you see how filled and it was with the fans and Boeheim and the team, Syracuse, their actual basketball team was there watching and cheering on and stuff. And again, very nostalgic. And it was fun to have something in the middle of the summer. But I really never got the feeling in any of their games, the first two wins, that they were going to be able to get it together to make a run at this tournament. You know, I mean, I thought they possibly could have won the first three, got out of the first weekend, but then there would have been a big week of practice and possibly the return of Brandon Trish to be able to move on after that first weekend. I mean, Chris McCullough's still playing over in the Philippines. He just got him. I think he had 35 points and 18 rebounds.
He would have never showed up
to the championship of the Philippines. So they're still playing. So he would have never been here to begin with. But I just never saw the proof that they were going to be good enough, better than some of these other teams. I just didn't see it.
Anthony says, really tough ending. Had a blast being there live for it, as many of you probably saw my big goofy ass all over ESPN, but it seemed like the team never really clicked and got into a great flow, wondering how different it might have been had Trish and McCullough been able to play. Still, it was an experience I'll cherish for years to come. Yeah, there was a bunch of people. I saw a bunch of people in the stands on ESPN there. So really cool to see people you just know from like Twitter or social media at the game. I thought that was really cool. So, and you know, it was a win for the city. It was a win for Syracuse, and just unfortunate that, you know, our team lost on the home court. And, you know, it just, you could see it coming. But anyway, so the latest episode of La Familia came out, and it kind of, it featured a few people. It's Trill Williams, and showed his cleat collection. Right, mm-hmm. some randomness there. Yeah, Josh Black, he was in there explaining how strong he is. So
yeah. I don't think he has to explain it. He's just got to watch.
I know. It was, you know, if you haven't checked it out, check it out. It wasn't as good as the first one for me.
But you know what, though? I look at it like the first one for from a fan's point of view, I can see why they would enjoy it better. But for, like, the younger kids and the recruits, I feel like the second one was probably a little bit better.
I guess it's a balance, right?
What's that?
It's a balance.
You got to play to all sides. Right. And again, I mean, we have a situation where, I mean, there's people out there that like that stuff when you're an athlete, and people that like fashion, they like to see, you know, they like to have all different types of cleats and gloves flash and all the apparel, you know. Right, and so people get into that, and players and young players get into that. And also at the end of this, after Josh Black was, I'm sure they had something about him because he's coming in replacing Chris Slayton. So they kind of want to calm the worries of the Syracuse fans and letting them know that there's a big old boy waiting in the wings to replace him. But they had the whole uniform reveal at the end too, which again is, you know, panders to,
we lived it already though too.
Well, we already lived it, exactly, but it does pander to the recruits, and when they put it together in a video like that, then it does, you know, make it look bit more.
Dino comes in and drops the duffel bag down in the
So they have that, but that was like the first time that it was put together in something like that, obviously, if you didn't see the YouTube video. So again,
just take the 12 minutes if you haven't. Just go watch them. I mean, yeah, they're worth
12, 13. It's still good. It gives you some insight inside the locker room and how some of these guys are, off of the football field. But again, I thought a lot of this episode was going towards the recruits more than anything.
This, not a huge deal, but I like these little things that come in to fill gaps in news stories. SU ranked 9th for prolonged success. It's between, basically, what they did is they took winning percentages for basketball and football. And I was actually quite shocked that Syracuse was 9th. So they don't take into account championships, quality of opponents, or victory margins. But the basketball success rate was 1,884 to 894, which is a success rate of 0.678. That's pretty good. And I think that was 7th nationally. And then the football team was 47th nationally with a winning percentage of 0.568, 719 to 540 in 49 ties. So that was this is all from NCAA.com. They got nothing else to do, I guess. But still pretty cool to see Syracuse up there in the top 10 nationally for all of history. So,
well, yeah,
Notre Dame took the cake with the number one slot. So,
of course, all of history doesn't really, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's a fun poll, but it doesn't really tell you what's going on in the current state of.
No, well, it doesn't
athletics.
Include anything. It doesn't include a lot of things: the championships, right, quality of opponents. So, right, you know, for what it's worth, the Italy trip is coming up. That's going to start on Monday, August 11th. So we're recording.
It's coming up.
It's coming up quick. Now, if you don't already know, you can go to flowhoops.com, FLOHoops.com, and you can pay the $12.50 for the month of August, and you can watch the games. Now, the games are on weird times, but it's a streaming thing, so obviously I'm sure you can go back through and watch them. Home Team Pub in Liverpool will also show all the games. Now, I don't know exactly how they're going to do that because of the times. So they open up against All-Star
Versailles,
is that it? Okay. That is a 1 p.m. game, so, you know, you could see that one. There's Oxygen Bassano, which is the 14th. That's a 1 p.m. game. And then game 3 is Siena Summer Team, which is a 6 a.m. game. So I don't know how they'll work that, but and then the last one is Virtus Roma, which is also a 1 p.m. game. So, you know, I guess you just watch them on replay, on demand, or whatever, right? So.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, because I don't see me being out of work for any of those, and you know, nope. 6 o'clock is my start time. So, anyway.
Right. Yep. Right there with you, bud.
Yeah, the coach's poll came out, and I wasn't too shocked, but it was good to see us in there. Clemson at number one, obviously, but. Syracuse at number 22 is the only other conference member to make the top 25, and I guess you start there, Joe, and that's important for especially for football going into these, you know, with the first three games, the third one being at Clemson at the Dome. So
there's so many polls, man. There's so many polls that it's just
I know that's a big
one. I look at
it
like whether we start preseason ranked or not. We should, if we win our two first games, then we should be ranked going into that Clemson game. So, but these type of coaches or these type of polls, I actually like a little bit better than some of the other ones, because I respect more of a coach's opinion than
that's what I'm saying. I mean,
than sometimes the media or sometimes some of these writers and stuff like that. A lot of that stuff, they got a little bit of bias, and not saying coaches can't, but for the most part, coaches they know a little bit more about what's going on. So I think Dino Babers has got a lot of respect throughout the coaches in the country. And that's the one that I'm kind of going to trust more than them all. So I've been looking at us like we were somewhere between 20 and 25 anyway, but anybody who doesn't have us will be in there with others receiving votes. And as long as we, you know, do what we do, should do the first 2 weeks, then we'll be ranked for Clemson. So
yeah,
but again, I mean, another fun poll to, you know, just look at. And
I mean, that's what the offseason is, right? I mean, you just gotta, you know, we'd kind of fallen off a lot of these polls. We talked about that maybe episode or two ago. So to see us back on one, it is what it is. But
oh yeah, and they don't have the others receiving votes or who's 26th or 27th. It's just the top 25. And if your team's not on there, your name's not on there, then you really
don't
get that recognition, right?
So, exactly.
Anything that's got us with a number next to it.
We had three verbal commits since the last time we were on. But first, this portion of the show is first brought to us by SeatGeek. Let me take a second and tell you about SeatGeek. This is an app, if you don't already know. And what it does, it's going to scan the web for you, and it's going to look for the best deals on tickets to your favorite game, concert, or show. And then it'll rate them on a scale from 0 to 10. It'll let you know if you're getting the best bang for your buck. And not only will it rate them with numbers, but it'll rate them by colors. So, a green dot, that marks a great deal. A yellow dot, that marks a good deal. And a red dot, that's not so good of a deal. Now, if you have to bite on a red dot, I've got something for you. Use promo code ACAA at checkout and get $20 off your first purchase. So, you can use that one time. What are you waiting for? That's promo code ACAA at checkout. No matter what kind of deal you're getting, get $20 off at first purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event, and we have the tickets. Also want to tell you about the good folks over at MyBookie. If you don't know what online betting is all about, go ahead and research it and see if it's right for you. But if you already do know what it's about and you want to use it, go to MyBookie.ag. It's a new season. Antonio Brown is with my Raiders. Le'Veon Bell is with the Jets. Odell Beckham, he said, see ya, Giants. He's in Cleveland. The only thing that hasn't changed is where I'm putting my money when all these games happen. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. MyBookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sports book, period, hands down. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. Okay, say that 10 times fast. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs you $100 to enter. All you got to do is pick five NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. Now, I would only recommend a service that's been good to me. So I've bet with them. Joe's bet with them. That's why I'm recommending MyBookie. You bet, you win, they pay. MyBookie has live in-game betting on every NFL game. They've got the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for all you fantasy guys and gals out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. So join now and get up to $200 in free bets. Use promo code CUSE25 to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use that promo code. It is CUSE25 when creating your account to claim that bonus. Bet, win, get paid. Thank you, SeatGeek. Thank you, MyBookie. So we, while I was on vacation, I was trying to monitor this Bryce Gowdy, supposed to announce on Instagram at 6, right? And I'm going 6:15. I was texting you a little bit, Joe. I was going 6:30, and I got nothing. 6:40.
We waited weeks for this.
I know. And so I was on Twitter. I was refreshing, man. I'm in like, you know, I was in Orlando at Universal, and I'm like trying to be off the phone. So I put the phone down, and Joe's like, well, I think we got him. I retweeted something. And so I had pre-made a little meme to just throw out there that if he committed. So I was like, okay, well, sweet. I threw it out there. Well, I don't know what happened. I guess there was something about in his video, he had a Syracuse hat on his dash or something in the video.
I don't know. There was some confusion.
Anyway, we ripped it all down. He chose Georgia Tech, but it is what it is. A little snafu. So anyway, there were a couple other 2020 verbals. Ben LeBros is defensive back, class of 2020. He committed to Syracuse football after participating in an on-campus camp on Saturday. He did so via Twitter. He's 6'2", 200 pounds. He's from Montreal, Quebec, and he is currently unrated by the major recruiting services. Mostly, I mean, you know, he's from Canada, so probably not paying a whole lot of attention to him. So,
right. Exactly what it is. Yeah. That's exactly what it is, and you know, when you look at his tape again, somebody that came into their camp and they saw firsthand, and they say that he's really athletic. He's really fast. Springy. He makes catches. Just very good as ball skills. So he's probably pretty raw when it comes to competition and schemes and stuff like that. But again, being able to be in New York, I think Dino Babers, I think he's starting to like this because football is only getting more popular in other countries as well, right? So being able to have this geographical advantage to where you can have these kids from Toronto and Montreal. And
we're right there.
They're right there. And again, they're not going to be highly rated. And the same thing happens in basketball if they don't come to the United States and play at like a prep school or something. They're always kind of – I mean, O'Shea Brissett, perfect example. He was definitely under-recruited. He was better than what his star rating or ranking was, so to speak. And, again, I think that we're going to start seeing this help us out with our recruiting. They say that he's fast enough to be a corner, a safety, or he could possibly put up bulk and muscle in a couple years and possibly be a really, really speedy linebacker. So, again, I think pretty good get, and he'll be rated shortly. This always happens. Hasn't been any camps, right. Like you said, played in Canada, so none of these scouting services have been out there. Now that he's committed to us, scouting services will make a point to put him and rate him, and most likely he'll be a 3-star. So,
yeah, I think that's fair after watching
that's
the tape.
That's pretty much so, yeah. Where it's going to be.
Tight end Stephen Mahar. Rochester native, so getting the local pipeline there. 6'5", 225 pounds. He was, in addition to being offered by the Orange, Boston College, Indiana, Iowa State, and Rutgers. He played actually defensive end and tight end in high school, but he was recruited for the offensive side of the ball. According to 247 Sports, he's a 3-star, and he's the 5th best player in the state and the 33rd best player at his position.
Yeah, there's tight end's a tough one when it comes to the star system. Usually you're not going to get a lot of 5-stars, that kind of stuff. But again, what I saw, I just saw an athletic freak. Like you said, he could play tight end or he could play defensive end. And it looks like right now we're recruiting him to try to get some sort of receiving advantage on the offensive end. Now, obviously, the tight ends are going to have to block. But, I mean, he looks like, if he wanted to, he could even go out and maybe split out and do some jump balls when it comes to inside the red zone and stuff like that.
Yeah, 6'5",
right, yeah. Now, what's that? Yeah, yeah. So, and again, too, this is huge because we have to take advantage of the geographical, you know, the people that were that are near us. So, getting these guys to come in and camp in the Northeast, a lot of them they get overlooked because of the competition and because of where they come from. And to be able to put these camps together and have these guys come in, and especially getting in-state guys sick and tired of all these other out-of-state schools coming in and stealing our guys. And since Babers has gotten there, he's gotten some – starting to get the in-state guys. So getting number 5 in the state and, would you say, number 30, 33 30, as far 30. As his position. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll take that.
Yeah. Chase Atkinson, another defensive back. He's the 14th, and it wraps it up. That gets us caught up here. Atkinson was recruited as a cornerback, and he's listed at 5'11", 180 pounds. You know, a little small, according to 247 Sports. But, hey, see, maybe he's got wheels, right?
No, he's definitely got wheels, that's for sure. So, I mean, apparently he's up in the 4.4s is what they say, but again you say he's small, but I remember days when we were, yeah, I mean, even Antoine Cordian, I mean, I love the guy, 6 year. He was a Schaefer guy. He's 5'8". Davon Ellison, 5'. I mean, we used to get some of the smaller guys. So 5'11 really isn't awful, especially when you talk to corner. You can get away with that. But again, really good man-to-man defender. He's got the speed to be able to make up ground, to be able to, you know, make plays on the ball and the receiver. And again, just one of those guys where when you watch his tape, he just seems like he makes plays happen, whether it's the return game or it's just when he's around the ball, somehow something happens and he's got great ball skills. And you start to see these are the type of guys that Schaefer's trying to get at corner. Are these guys that they can man up and lock down, maybe some bump coverage to be able to play these different coverages and not have to rely on zone all the time. But again, this is just it's a guy that I see, and it just fits, you know, seeing some of these defensive backs that we've gotten so far this year. I'm liking where we're going with that. And again, they're athletes, so I'm sure they can play multiple positions. So,
yep.
And I loved his tape too.
Yeah, so. I agree. All verbal commits are non-binding, obviously, for this period until basically early signing day, which is the December 18th through 20th or National Signing Day on February 5th. So all this can change, but it is
right.
So camp started on August 2nd, this past Friday, and there's not a whole lot of stories coming out of there yet. Mostly there hasn't been any media. Our coach hasn't done any media stuff yet. So what we do know is that they had 5 walk-ons join up, running back, Nikki Clifton, linebacker, Ben Honus. And I believe Ben, he was an All-American wrestler. So... long snapper Joey Kelly, offensive lineman Josh Cuscoel, wide receiver Sam Warren. So, for what it's worth, don't know a ton about them yet. But let's not forget, as Paul notes in Inside the Loud House, it was a guy named Andre Schmidt was a walk-on. So, never poo-poo the walk-on. So,
no, you get preferred walk-ons and. You also have to fill spots and walk-ons just for just practice and longevity and being able to put people out there against your first and second string just in case you get some injuries and stuff like that. They're more practice guys, but you like, again, with college, you never know. I mean, Baker Mayfield went and he walked down to Texas Tech, then walked down to Oklahoma, then ended up being the number one pick in the draft. So, and he won a Heisman. So walk-ons, as much as it's not a high percentage that it happens – again, you never know. And, I mean, having certain guys that have played other sports, too, could sometimes help. But the one that intrigues me here is the long snapper because, again, it's just one of those things where you never – if you can get some guy in – long snappers are few and far between. They really only got one job.
Yeah.
And if you have a really good long snapper like we did last year and again, with Matt Keller getting hurt, I think that Belinsky actually got a lot of playing time, and I thought he played well. So I know we have – you know, another solid long snapper this year. So maybe this is just the next one in a line of great long snappers.
Yeah, well, we hope, right? So,
no, yeah.
We're going to do position breakdowns, just like kind of like what we did last year, but we wanted to just do one easy one first because it's going to be a few episodes and things are tightening up. So, Joe, did you want to start at the bottom and work our way up, or you want to start at the top and work our way down?
It doesn't matter to me, man. Surprise me.
Well, how about Drew Gunther? Preferred walk-on. We talked about that. Went to the same high school as Ryan Nassib. And he actually previously pledged to Virginia Tech.
So, which probably was still a preferred walk-on situation. A lot of times what teams do is they will basically use the preferred walk-on as like, hey, we don't got a scholarship for you, but if you come here, you prove yourself, then a scholarship opens up, then you're next in line. So usually, so they'll get the scholarship before a normal walk-on or somebody like that, if there is an open one. So again, that's kind of like someone's back door into a program to try to earn their scholarship. But if Virginia Tech is looking for somebody like that, then obviously this is a fringe guy that definitely has some talent. 6'2", 203, he's definitely going to have to put a little bit of weight on, but he is a freshman, and you know who is starting, or you know we got players. So he's not going to be asked to do anything that felt like this might have been just a let's throw a shot in the dark and see what happens with the kid. So that's kind of how I'm feeling with him. But again, as the number 5 quarterback on a roster, it's not awful to have, especially considering the depth of that position in the recent history.
Yeah, we've obviously had our struggles for, I don't know, 12 years. So,
right.
David Summers, I remember talking about David in spring of last year. He's going to join, and he actually committed to Maryland, and he transferred to Syracuse, committed to Syracuse after Chance and me transferred from Syracuse. So, 6'2", 223 pounds.
Yeah, and obviously, as you can see, same height as Gunther, but he's got a little bit more weight, so probably a little bit more ready to see that action. But again, this is just one of those weird things that happens in recruiting where he verbals to Maryland, and then Maryland's coach get fired, and then he doesn't know where he's going to go. And we were looking at him before Maryland, but then we don't have a spot, and then Chance and me, he transfers, and there's an open spot. So just sometimes things work out like that. And again, it's going to be a guy that comes in, he's going to red shirt and just kind of learn the system and try to see if he fits in and if he could possibly be somebody that could help us out down the line in the future.
Our backup is Rex Culpepper, 6'3", 200.
Wait, backup.
Our backup. 6'3", 222 pounds, redshirt junior, Rex Culpepper. We all know Rex. We all followed him on his journey through his battle with cancer, and so he's played a little bit, Scott Schaefer recruit originally, so
right. He is definitely he's wild.
He's a character, man.
He's definitely, and but it's awesome.
Wits Up? Remember he was on Wits Up and he come in doing a wheelie on the
dirt
bike.
One of my favorite ones.
yeah,
the mohawk and everything. Uh-huh. Just looking at his story, coming from a father that played, football at Florida and then went to the NFL. And then, anybody who's a Survivor fan knows that both his mom and his dad were on Survivor. And he goes and he survives his battle with testicular cancer, comes back, just an overall great story. And obviously everybody loves him as a person and as a guy in the locker room. I cheer for him every single time, and I'm sure that if there's anything that he could do to get on the field to help the team, Babers is going to allow him to do that. I think he's been in there before with special teams, and I believe that they had him every once in a while kind of messing around at tight end. So I don't know if that's going to be an option as well, especially considering our depth at tight end this year. But I'll guarantee you, if that guy can come in and help us, then he's going to come and he's going to help us. And just overall fan favorite, whether he plays a snap at quarterback or starts a game, in my opinion. Redshirt junior, and to be perfectly honest with you, I feel like I would be comfortable. I would be comfortable if we had to rely on him for a quarter or two for a little bit of backup action.
And redshirt senior, 6'5", 243 pounds. It's a bruiser. Clayton Welch, he's listed as is second on the depth chart right now behind DeVito. Known as a runner or passer, yet has to throw a pass in a college game. Don't know a ton about Clayton Welch, but
you know. No. There's, I mean, if you scour the internet, there are some you know, write-ups up there. He did go to Butte College, the same college that, right now, Lakeem Williams on our team has came from, but also the same college that Aaron Rodgers went to before he went to California. So there's a couple articles out there on the interweb that can give you a little bit more insight if you want to read into him. But we haven't really been able to see too much. But I look at 6'5", 243, athletic. This could be a guy that, again, might not be at the level that DeVito is with maybe arm strength or something. But, again, this could definitely be somebody, redshirt senior. He's been in the system for, what, now 2 years at least? So mm-hmm. It could be somebody that I could, again.
You feel comfortable? Something.
Right. I think where we're going towards with this whole thing is that I think we all kind of see the writing on the wall. And before we did, too, we knew that Dungy was the starter. But this is pre-DeVito. Anything after Dungy, pre-DeVito, we were scared you-know-what. And
yeah.
Now I think this is kind of telling to where now we know who it's going to be, but I don't think their fans are as scared if he goes down to see who can come up. And I think that just comes from believing in Babers. I mean, you look at Clayton Welch, you look at Rex Culpepper. We haven't seen them really put in any big time in any meaningful games. But again, I'm just that much more confident in the fact that they can come in and help us more than, like, you know, the depth that we had pre-DeVito after Dungy. So,
right.
To me, it's just telling. And I hope that Clayton Welch can get in there and get a little bit of time. Hopefully we'll be...
I mean, hopefully hopefully he can get some reps and we can pull ahead against some of these teams and they can throw him out there and...
Exactly.
Get some reps and see what he can do. Maybe shake the nerves off a little bit. I mean, that's got to be tough, you know? So,
you're going to have to at some point put either Culpepper or Welch in to see who's going to be able to actually do that. You know, I mean, I was going to say the same exact thing with what you just said. And as far as, like, you remember how many games DeVito came in and played last year?
Yeah.
You know, well, he got into seven games last year. So,
yeah. Really good.
Two of them, obviously. Well, he started one and he won two other meaningful ones. So, I mean, but you take the other three, the other four that he had entered, it was after we were winning big. So hopefully we'll be able to see a little bit of that action, hopefully starting week one. But
speaking of Tommy DeVito.
Speaking of Tommy D.
Redshirt sophomore, 6'2", 212. We all know he's handpicked by Dino Babers, 4-star recruit. And we just touched on it, the wins over Florida State and North Carolina. This is a much anticipated, you know, kind of, you know, probably one of the more exciting aspects of this year's season to have a game plan finally revolve around Tommy DeVito and have him out there with his team, and that, you know, he knows it's his team now, there's no question, and just really excited. Everybody's really excited to see what he can do. He gets his toes wet a little bit with Liberty, okay, but even Liberty's not going to be, you know, a pushover. But then you got Maryland and you got Clemson. I mean, it's going to be a shaky start, man, to the beginning of the season.
You're kind of going right into the,
yeah.
I mean, it's last year's schedule, it would have been in like one of those gradually just increasing your way into the pool because it's
exactly.
cold.
Yeah.
And this time,
what's better
year,
though?
You're
I mean,
pretty much getting thrown in.
You're getting thrown right in. Liberty is not a pushover team, I don't believe. I mean, we may go in there and blow them up. They may, who knows?
No,
they're on their way up, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and they're going to come out, and they're definitely going to come out and try to punch us in the mouth. And, we've talked about this in previous episodes, but I think, you know, with the new players and not really knowing what's going to happen, I think they're going to come out and try to surprise us, punch us in the mouth, and try to get us kind of questioning ourselves week one before we can even get any momentum in the season, you know. So it's going to be key to just get through that first quarter and – just get all the jitters out and get back to just winning football and showing Liberty what's up. And that's probably what it should be. But again, sometimes you never know, because it's a long, you know, as long as the other team's got more points than you and they're keeping pressure on you, and you just you can't catch a break, then sometimes those things can happen. And I mean, I would definitely wear on the side of just fans don't think that Tommy DeVito is just going to come in and it's going to be all just sunshines and roses. Yeah, and you know, there are going to be hitches in the road. He's going to make mistakes.
Oh,
he's...
absolutely. I don't think there's a question about it. But, you know, you got someone that has gotten his feet wet, knows what to expect now, whereas, you know, the other two guys fighting for the second spot, we don't really know. We don't really know.
Right.
I mean, you might feel comfortable with Clayton Welch or Rex Culpepper, but we don't really know. We kind of know what DeVito can do.
I don't think Babers is looking at those guys for the future. I think he's looking at DeVito as the future and basically seeing where the backup's going to come just in case.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
So
those are your SU football quarterbacks.
Yeah. Is it overall with the depth? It's, I mean, we've been, other than last year, I thought we were, obviously the depth is really good, but we're above average of where we usually are as far as depth in this position. So
I think we're only going up as far as depth. I mean, just a couple years ago, the depth was just almost, you know,
in most positions. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that there's going to be expectations for DeVito. And again, this just come down to that.
There's a lot of people who expect a lot out of Tommy DeVito. I know them personally.
So. Right. But, when you expect things from players like me, I have expectations from players, but usually it's over a 4-year period.
Sure, yeah.
So everyone's got to understand that he's still got 3 years to play.
3 years.
So
then, which is, I mean, you think about that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's scary.
It's scary for the rest of the ACC.
Oh, well, yeah. That's so, what I was talking about. Yeah. It's not scary for me.
No, I know.
I mean,
it's just the anticipation. I don't have an expectation, but I am way, way anticipating watching Tommy DeVito take the reins of this team. I really am. As much as I miss, you know, Dungy and how much fun that was, this is a whole nother ball game. Literally, you know, this is going to be a different kind of football. It's going to be a different kind of play. This is going to be something else.
And that's the thing is, a lot of times I look way far ahead. Most people are like this season, this, and I sit here and you question that, but I question, yes, I'm anticipating the takeover and what he can do his first year. But then I think about what is this offense going to look like his senior year?
Yeah,
after more years of full knowing.
The recruiting's only on the rise, and depending on what his success is like, you've got, you know, it's going to only help recruiting, you know, depending, but it's kind of pointing that way. So, you know, people want to
catch. You need good quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah,
so,
absolutely. Yeah.
You know, we were blessed with Dungy. He was obviously under-recruited. We got him, and he obviously over-exceeded people's expectations. But now we got a guy that's got expectations. He was a 4-star, and he's taking the reins as a redshirt sophomore, so we've been in a great place for quarterbacks the last couple of years. And again, we just got to keep it going. So
yeah,
let's cross our fingers on this one. Hope that we can just have solid backups and just get ready to go. Hopefully the offensive line can keep him upright.
So, yeah, well, that's the big thing. So we've got a few more weeks before we really get into, some serious getting ready for the orange. So we've got
27 days till game one, bro.
Yeah, I know. We'll do the running backs and we'll do the receivers, tight ends, and I don't know exactly how we're going to format it, but we'll get it done. So expect some episodes coming out soon, and we'll try to get as much of that done as we can, and as long as we can get it done, we'll get it done. But the other thing is the training camp stuff. How many sessions are there, Joe? It's like 16 training camp sessions or something like that. So,
oh God,
I can't remember. There's a number, but anyway, once that stuff trickles out, we'll sprinkle that stuff in, and we'll get it all done. So that's it. That's all we got. Sorry about the delay. Really, Joe and I were really trying to get that done, and I was really disappointed. It just wasn't going to happen. So anyway, thank you to all of you. Thank you to SeatGeek and MyBookie. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out. Hey.
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.